different way. Verse number one, we're going to read 1 through 9. This will be some of the most reading some of you do, which shame on you. I'm a pastor that believes you should read your scriptures daily. Come on. How many like to eat twice a day minimum? How about 3 times? Come on. How about 1 time? How many of you love to fast? Come on. It's biblical that we need to fast. How many are fasting right now? Don't raise your hand. Because we're supposed to do that in secret. I'm messing with you. Come on. I'm messing with you because Jesus is coming. I don't know if you're ready. Jesus is about to blow the trumpet. I don't know if you're ready. The problem is we believe we are, but you don't understand the scriptures. The scriptures teach us. He doesn't care of your age. There's an accountability age that you don't have to be concerned with. Those are our little ones. I believe the moment you know how to lie, you are in trouble. And we got some good little liars now. Hello? No, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? A lot of us in the Jewish culture that we know our brethren from the Jewish culture. In fact, there was a slide, 2 slides missing this morning. Other than the one that 3 slides were missing, but Rabbi Yosef will be with us on our May 28th celebration. He's coming in to sit down with us, give us, I'm going to have him break some words down for us that the way you could understand it from the Hebrew perspective, studying 4,000 years before we've even began studying. We've only been studying 2,000 plus years as Gentiles. How many know what I just said? They've been studying for years, and they got the scrolls, and half these words that we read, even in the King James Version, that's not what they mean. And just like right now, let's read verse number 1, King James Version. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, chapter 21, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go unto the village over, on verse number 2, go against over against you, and straightway you shall find, I can't say the word here because you can't handle the truth. The word says that there, it says it a donkey, right? Right? It doesn't say that in the King James Version. How many have the King James Version? What does it say, brother? Because I can't say it. If I say it, what? Pastor said a bad word. Booty. That's what you all think it is, but we'll break it down in a minute. It's because you don't understand the word of God. Our God is not evil. Our God doesn't think evil. We don't serve a nasty God. Hello, somebody. He's not a God that puts things in his word. This word is holy. What was that word again? In Mexican cola. Listen to what I'm about to hear, okay? But we got to understand that. It says, and again, I'm going to read the B part. And you shall find a tied to and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done on verse number 4, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that's going to be Zechariah that we're going to get to, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon it says it again, and a colt, and the foal of again. I think he's trying to get us to understand. Get your thoughts together. I don't say that because you will falsely accuse me, especially those that are not present are going to hear it on the recording on the website. Pastor said a bad word. I did not say a bad word. He said it. The guest said it. So that means they say it in their church. Right? Right. No, I'm going to read it right. And any man say unto thee, unto you, say, I'm sorry. Verse 1 before, I already read that. And this was done that it might be fulfilled again, which was spoken by the prophet saying, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh upon thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. I'm verse number 6. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Verse 7. And brought the ass and the coat and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. On verse number 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. On verse number 6, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, you're my voice. Be my voice. Holy Spirit, open every ear to understand why we celebrate this day, why it was written the way it has been written for us to hear, Lord God. Correct our mindsets, Father, if needed. Meet us where we need to be met, Father, where our hearts are, Lord God, because we know we're in a time compared to this writing, at the time of these writings, Father, over 2,000 years plus ago. We are closer to your coming than ever for the many things that have been fulfilled, Lord, that needed to be fulfilled. Clear our minds, clear our hearts, Father. Let us prepare that as we celebrate, Father, we celebrate your soon coming. And we praise you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. And we all believe and say amen and amen. First and foremost, well, let's cover up what ass means. You know what ass means in the Hebrew word? The Hebrew breakdown means a he colt, a he animal. In other words, it's a male. He's going to be riding a male animal. So get your minds right that this word that I just said it is not what you think. Because automatically, the filth of our mindsets, the filth of our communications, the filth. Hello, because everyone has one in that filth. How many agree? We have been instructed never to hit a child outside of the bottom. Amen? And we use the word. But today, the word that is represented here in the scriptures means a male. Say a male. Not the kind that you go look in a post office box, the type that you understand. How many know what a male is? And how can you prove it in today's society? Hello, somebody. God made male and he made female. Hello, he didn't make a mistake. It's not a mistake. You were born this way. Hello, somebody. We got to stand up for who we are. We are the Most High. Hello. We are of the Most High, making us of the Most High. We need to stand up. So, in truth, number one, the word ASS means a male representation of whatever at this point is going to be a donkey, a colt, and it's going to be a colt, a young one. Say young. How many know it feels good to be young? Hello, don't get old. That's all I can tell you. Come on. But what we want to bring to you is here it is that the word says that it was being. The prophecy is being fulfilled. How many know what prophecy is to start with? Many of us like prophecy in the church world. Hello. But we don't want to hear true prophecy. We want to hear prophecy that makes us feel good, that makes it well for us. We want to hear the prophetic word coming that is going to establish us in wealth or in good care. But oftentimes the prophecies either are bad or they're good. We are church in this world today. God's church don't want to hear no bad because we think everything's all right. Because why do we think like that? Because the church has put it behind you. The pulpit needs help today. This that we call the altar, like I've shared with you, not everybody gets up here to speak. Why? Because I'm old school. Say old school. Not just because I have my age. I'm old school. I'm an OG. I'm an original gospel believer preaching type of person. And I know that God has not changed. Hello, you believe that, right? He's the same yesterday. You believe it's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, then you need to believe that. What thus saith the Lord, not everything is what you believe it should be. It is how it is written to believe. We're trying to preach to Jesus. We're trying to preach to the Almighty God. We're trying to pastor God when God should be pastoring us. Today we got people, the pastors of people, pastors. It's not how it works. God sets up shepherds. Hello. God calls them. It's a calling. Hello. I didn't get up one morning to say, I decided to follow Jesus. It was a song, yes, but not to do this. If I could, and I have, I'll throw you the keys. You do a better job. Go for it. Just don't call me. Come on. Hello. Man, you guys are awesome this morning. You can't say amen other than Robert. Come on. Robert knows because I know where he's come from and I know where he's at. Just like that testimony. I know about his father. Come on. No wonder you told me you had a great testimony. I only said, give me one. I purposely said one today to our brother John. Say, only one, because if we open it up, we have an event and I'm hungry. And I'm teasing you because I'll be the last one to eat, not the first one. I don't believe in that. I'm the last one. The shepherd makes sure the sheep are going to eat first. And I'm going to start with my seniors first. And I qualify as a senior, but I'll still wait. And what is the age of seniors, by the way, in today's world? It's not 55 no more. It's 60. They're pushing it to 67 because they want to push it to 70 because we're living much longer than 55. If you were in our days growing up as kids, if you can make it to 55, you were doing great. Today, now we're trying to make it to 100. Come on, let's bet on that. You want to bet I'm going to live to 100? I don't want to live to 100 unless God has me to live for 100. Even though I understand what today is. Today is Palm Sunday. But it's a prophetic word that came to pass over 2,000 years ago. Zechariah 9. Go to the chapter of Zechariah 9. A prior custom, covenant. Actually, if you know your Bible, call it the second book prior to the close of the book. Malachi is afterwards, but truly in the true text, Malachi is not the last book. The last book is actually Joel, the prophet Joel's writing. But you know, King James doesn't put it like in the true perspectives. But it doesn't matter as long as you know it's there. Hello, Zechariah chapter 9. And this is prior to Jesus. This is about 450 years prior to him arriving into our great world. It's a time of what was happening, what was going on, just like today. We're going to break into die. How many know what's going on today? Hello, we got a war going on right now. We got division in our country. We got division in the church. And there should never be a division in God's house. He's the Father. We're his children. And that's the way it should be. But denominations have come in. The different kinds of doctrines have snuck in. We know that we serve and we believe what we read, that the devil's a liar, but we don't understand that he is a liar. Not only is he a liar, he's a thief. And he comes to destroy. He comes to murder, kill. Hello? But thank God we have a Savior that was prophetically spoken many times of the prior covenant. Before this prophecy came, Isaiah spoke it years earlier. Before that, in the beginning of the fall, where the fall took place, it was already prophesied over 6,000 years ago. One has to come. Say one. Thank God for the one. And he'll go after the one. Huh? He went after your father. Come on, say amen. Because he heard the cry of his son, crying out for another one of his son, and God heard the cry. The best part is, you didn't try to work it out. That's our issue. We're always trying to work out for God what God has been and will be working on. He's always behind the scenes, ahead of us. And thank the Lord that you were able to obey. Thank the Lord for obedience today. I mean, no, obedience is better than sacrifice. God is looking for obedience today. Amen. Oh, help me here, Jesus. But verse number 9, in the prophecy that came through the prophet Zechariah, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion." Wait a minute. Let's stop right here. Why did he say daughters? Why did he say men? Why is he using daughters? You know, how many know that anytime God has something written for us, it's just not coincidentally put there. It's not a coincidence that he put O daughters. He didn't call the men. And it's prophetically was fulfilled, saying, and Jesus quoted it exactly the way it was written, because he's the author. Come on. We're trying to tell the author what he's writing. That's what's wrong with America. Come on. We're trying to tell him, no, that's not what he meant. Come on, people. Satan tried that and it failed. Even the Lord knows when you add or take away from his word. And today we don't want to add, and today we don't want to take away, because I assure you, heaven is real. I've never seen it, but I've seen hell, and it is real, and you don't want to go there. I'm just glad God rescued me in my filth. God rescued me prior to entrance of that place called hell. When I saw it, I thank God that the light came and rescued me, because I didn't like what I saw. I am so great today that I could tell you, I can plead to you, I can scream it out, I can choke you into it, but you still won't believe that hell is real. So I have to ask God to let you see it, not go there in a dream, possibly. Hello? Because it's real. But you know, today it's a joke to many of us, because we don't understand why it was written, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion," verse number 9. Shout, O daughters. We tell you to rejoice. We tell you to make a noise. We tell you to give them a praise. And what do we do? Half math. Thank you, Jesus. You got to be quiet, because we're disturbing him in his house. You can't disturb a mighty living God. He's got praises going on 24/7. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we know that Jesus says, if we don't praise him, the rocks will praise him. And that's what's wrong with the church. We don't know how to give him a correct praise, even though he says, rejoice. Give him a praise this morning. Give him a praise offering. Come on, get your hand. If we got your favorite actress, if we got your favorite actor, if we got your favorite, some of you, I've seen you at concerts. In dreams, I see how you act when they're celebrating Satan up there. And you're, woohoo, you're up there. You got your phone with the lights going. Whoa, come on, lift up your hands. He's holy. He's holy. We can, don't mature yourself out from God. Mature yourself into God. Rise up in him, and he's holy. I'm not ashamed to say he's holy. I say it everywhere I go, he's holy, because he's with me. You're holy, my God. But he said, now let's get back. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, why? Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. We just quoted verse by verse again, according to Matthew. Going back to Matthew 21 now. I'm almost done with you people. You people. I'm one of you. I'm at a place with God. When sometimes you believe that you're doing well with God. Sometimes you think you're on the right road. Sometimes you're giving your all. You heard the brother, you know, give. And then something comes in, a block in the road. Why? Because God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to tell you, hello, stop. He's trying to tell you, wait. Because we're such in a hurry today. Hello. You believe in the Burger King. I can't stand Burger King. They never get the orders right. Don't go through their driveway. Because then you have to go around and they look at you funny. When you go in, you did it wrong. And we're silly enough to go back. It's ridiculous. Hello. I don't go back because I don't believe in the Burger King. You want it in 30 seconds. Well, you should get what you just got for 30 seconds. Amen. I said no mayonnaise. And what do? They flood it with mayonnaise. Come on. And sometimes you don't even look. My wife says, always look before you leave. I don't care who's behind you. Anybody like that? I don't care. This is our turn. Come on. We should be like that with God. I don't care. I'm waiting. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care if they're honking. I want it right with God. We can't serve God the Burger King style here. That's the problem with the church. We like this. We want it so fast. Come on. Come on. 1 hour is way too much in God's house. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You better hope that God says it's okay to be 1 hour in his house down here. But he's going to tell you, you only get 1 hour up there. That means you're going to wait your turn in line and only tell you, well, your name's not written here. You got to be careful with the Word of God. You better understand the Word of God. You better study to show yourself approved, was Timothy told, was told by his spiritual father. Come on. But what we want to get into, we got into that place, right? On verse number 6, the disciples did exactly what he told them to do. They did exactly and brought exactly what was written for them. And then now we're going to go back to down to verse number 8, because this is where our text is actually coming from. Because there's so much that's in here that sometimes we don't stop and smell the coffee. Any coffee drinkers here this morning? Huh? I just bought a coffee from a coffee company of believers. They're believers, right? From Texas. My coffee, it's called Lion's Heads Coffee. And they give to great ministries, and they came up that your beans are going to be organic and fresh. I said, okay, brother. So I supported them because I like coffee in the morning. I like half and half, though. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm meeting the doctors halfway. They told me I shouldn't have none of this. I said, well, I'm going to meet you halfway because God's going to take me the rest of the way. Hello. It's just in the morning reading because we're early bird readers. Any early bird readers? Got to seek him early. Because if you don't, your day gets going. Hello. And now, where is he at? He's waiting for you. You left him. He didn't leave you. Come on. Come on. Verse number 8. 21 again. A book of Matthew. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went on verse number 9 before them and followed and cried, saying, Hosanna, right? To the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. One of the things we need to look at right here, first and foremost, why did God use the donkey? We call him one of the most stubborn. I've been accused of being stubborn as a... Who do you think tells me that? You're stubborn. You're so stubborn. I said, I learned from the best. Come on, what goes around comes around, right? We're one. We're stubborn together. Amen? But it's been characterized as being a stubborn animal. The cartoons made him as a bad, feeling sorry type of animal. Eeyore, right? Let me know who Eeyore is. He had an issue. Come on. The world was flat and round to him. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What matters is we're in the world, right? But we're not of the world if you know the scripture. But he was a depressed animal. Not only was he categorized as being like you and I, stubborn, because how many know we are stubborn? So we got a little bit. How many know y'all got a donkey in you? I don't want to use the other word because now y'all going to be accused. You're a bunch of... Somebody just pulled out a political party. Oh, my God. But we all have that in us. How many know we have a stubbornness in us? That's what the mule was categorized here in our world, but actually in this world, what it represents. For you that don't know this, he was actually ordained to come into this world. He was actually produced and came forth in the time of when they were making the world back in Genesis. He was produced for one purpose and one purpose only. That purpose was to fulfill this day that was coming. Hello, it was used at one time. There was one that was called Balaam. He rode on his donkey, and the donkey could see what he couldn't see. How many know that? That's what the donkey can do for us. Not the stubbornness. It could see what it was required to see. Could see the man of God standing, but the man of God riding couldn't see the man of God standing. Because that's us. Sometimes we, in our stubbornness, that's the other mule. But this mule was represented in this world for one reason. Say one reason. And it's not what we think is for you and I. It's not that it's to be stubborn. It's not that it's to be a depressed animal. Hello. It was a working position. It was one that
categorized a little bit with a horse in it because it had the look of a horse, but it didn't have the sound of a horse. It had the tail of a horse. It had the smile of a horse, the teeth of a horse, but it wasn't an actual horse. You know, there's another one. It's called the zebra, right? It looks like a horse, but it's not. How many understand God has a plan? And you need to represent the plan that he has, not our plan that to represent his plan. It's the other way around. But the true meaning of the colt here that was assigned and spoken over 450 years prior to what was going to be actually set up and used for, designed as, and this is what you need to understand, this colt right here, this foal, this young donkey. How many have played? I just heard. How many played the pin the tail on the donkey? What do? You have to blindfold the person. Everybody's trying to look. Where'd that come from? I don't know where that came from. Why a donkey? Why? Because everybody believed that the donkey is an animal that was to represent stubbornness, represents depression, represents everything except what it's been called to be. It's actually one of the words that it means is a servant. It's to serve, and it serves well. In the prior covenant, either you had horses, you had camels, you had sheep, right? Lambs, goats, and you had donkeys. Donkeys represented a good amount of money compared to other animals, for you that didn't know this. But the true meaning, why it says it right here, that he was to come and ride like he's supposed to, is because the true meaning of the donkey, the A-S-S word, is it represents peace. God could have sent him to ride on the white horse that you're going to read about in Book of Revelation, that the white horse he's going to ride at the end. But that's called the war horse. And the white represents victory. Come on. Warring victory, though. Fighting. I know some of you like to fight. Some of you need to really get punched out that you'll stop wanting to fight. Hello, somebody. But the truth is right here that he came. He's, you know, he knew he's about to enter his death. He knew his position. He knew what he was birthed for. And here comes the moment. Now go get this way. It was prophetically spoken. I am to ride on the back of, because this is what I'm bringing. I'm bringing you peace. I'm not coming to war. That day is yet to be fulfilled. Come on. But fulfillment right now is I'm bringing you peace. How many know that he says, I give you my peace. Not that the world gives us, John chapter 14, I give you peace. But not that the world, and I'm sorry, this doesn't mean peace. And I'm lifting up my two fingers. If I put one finger down, you're not going to like it. Hello, somebody. But, you know, and it represents bunny ears when you put it behind a person, I guess, right? I don't know. But what I do know is that when he wrote this, and I said, why a donkey, God, back in the days? And I go, I can't say the word. I would never say it, but now I understand it because I understand what it represents. He's to ride and come riding because he's coming in peace. And he's bringing peace to all society that's going to come after the fact. Say after the fact. We are part of after the fact. We're not present because you don't understand the present day. You don't understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And what you got to understand that he's coming with this peace on his back. Come on, it's on his back, right? It's on him. And it's also going to bring his humility out. Remember, he's the King of Kings. He's the Almighty. He's the great I Am. And look at how he is. Politically speaking, they were looking for a king. They were looking for somebody high and mighty. Forget all that he's done. Forget all the miracles. Forget that he rose people from the dead. He brought limbs out. He opened eyes so they could see, opened ears that they could hear. Forget all that. They wanted to see a political figure. But here they have this person. His name is Jesus. And look how he's coming into the holy city, Jerusalem. How dare him? He's coming in. But those that knew him at that point, they knew him, that followed him, that saw the miracles, sounds like the church, that he made provisions for, sounds like the church, come on, was there always for them and giving instruction, sounds like the church. Because that's who he's representing, the church right here. He's representing the church. He knew that those were singing out to him, praising him, and how he's coming. He's coming to show you, look, I'm humble. And I'm coming in peace. I'm coming not to war. I don't want to war with you. He didn't come to fight us. I don't know why we keep fighting him. I don't understand why you haven't realized that he's right. We're wrong, not the other way around. And everything he says and everything he does, like this, it's all a position for us today that when we leave this building, his peace goes with you. Come on, somebody. Next week, we'll finish it off to give you the understanding of his peace and the praise. However, it didn't stop right there. Here's the man. Here he is. He's coming humbly to ride this. He's coming in peace, but he's also coming in his service because a mule represents service. He's coming to serve. What do you mean? He's coming to serve. What do you mean? He's going to die on the cross for you and I. This is a great celebration. Hello. That has took place. But it didn't stop there. What did the people that do when they represented and saw who he really, what he was as the Son of God that they believe he was, including the 12 disciples? That means including the ones about to betray him. See, you could be church, you could be close to God, but it doesn't mean you won't betray him. You better be careful because you have what's called the flesh in you. What's more important to you than anything in this world other than him? We got people that will put him second on Sundays. And they'll use the reasoning for, what do you call it? What is it?
Sports.
Come on. Secondary. Family. Hello? You tell God, read the scriptures where he says, anybody that puts anyone before me. See, you don't want to hear that part. See, I'm a pastor, going to tell you it all. If it's in there, it's for me. Hello? You see that brother, Minister John right there? He put God first. Hello? And you know what I do know? Being now he's a veteran, he was taught God first, country second. In the military, God first, country second. Hello, somebody. I have a shirt that says God first, family second, then the Rams. Hello. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it was a gift. I go, man, that's a perfect order. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come on, say amen. Little humor somewhere, but it's truth. I have that shirt. I wore it yesterday. People say, I like your shirt. Amen. I do too. You like the Rams though? Oh, I want the Raiders. Talk to you later. I'll pray for you. Prayer always works. Come on, say amen. But that was just the beginning because now comes the two most important other factors. See, the colt was one. And I mean, he does things in numeric order. We're in number 3 month, right? Resurrection, right? Divine appointment, divine power, number 3. Come on. There's so much that's represented, but there's two more things that need to be seen here. Number two thing is, why palms? Why did he put palms? Why do we have palms up? What's it? I told them put them all over the floor that we can walk on them just like Jesus did. Just like that. Come on. See, if you knew the reason, I want palms for me. If you knew the reason. I said, put them all over. I see them out there now. They're ready to be put in the green dumpster out there. The red. I said, put them in the church. I told them, don't waste them. Thank you for those that brought them. There was a set out there. I don't know who brought them all, but thank you, Jesus. But in truth, if you know the word of God and why they use palms for the prior covenant, represented to what we call today the red carpet. It represented the authority. It represented the respect. I do not respect actors and actresses that play somebody else's role and they get the red carpet. I do not respect that. You are nobody to me. Just because you got a little bit more money than me, I know Jesus. Do you? No, I said, I know Jesus. I don't know about him. I know him. And if anybody's going to get the red carpet, it's him and him only. You playing a role, you putting the red carpet. Some of you like that, don't you? Yeah, the red carpet. No, don't put them on red carpet. They're not authoritative people. It's their job to play other people's role. Bring me the real people out there that they play. Bring me the doctors, the lawyers. Come on. Oh, they're the last ones, the lawyers. Don't put lawyers there. Don't put them there. Sorry. Give me the officers, the firemen. Hello, our military. Put them out there. No, come on, Jesus. Somebody talk to us, say amen there. But it represented the prayer of covenant. They would do it for royalty. At the time of coming, and they had gatherings, they would spread the palms because it represented red carpet. Authority, authoritative figures. And only those in that authority could walk it. And here comes Jesus on a donkey. And what did they do? They put the palms to let him know, here comes the authoritative one. Roll out the red carpet, people. Jesus is coming. People, he's here. Yeah. He's in you. You should be excited. He's with you on your job. He's with you at your worst moment to your greatest moment. He's with you. You should always have the red carpet. Amen. And number three now, why the clothing? Why did they take the clothing? How many of you would take your clothes off? Don't get naked as well. Get your filthy minds right. How many would do this and put your coat, $500 coat? Go ahead, Jesus. And they did it. They took their clothes off. And they put them above the palms. And then he walked in. Then he came. Why? Because it had to be fulfilled correctly. Because it was prophesied he will be writing this. They're going to be rejoicing. And they're going to rejoice because at that moment, they recognize. Some of you recognize who he is. And then all of a sudden, you forget who he is. That's coming. Say, Friday's coming. But I'm glad for Sunday after. Come on. Friday's coming. I mean, what Friday represents, Good Friday. The time is coming. He's ready. Hello. But he's got to fulfill in his humility. He's walking in church. Come on. He's coming on his victory ride. You see, because when he comes again, I'm coming with him. I made up my mind. I've learned how to ride a horse. Amen. Doesn't mean I'm going to go buy a horse. My horse is called Harley Davidson. Sorry. Sorry, Yamaha, Honda. Where I come from, they'll call rice burners. But you don't want to know that, right? Don't get mad at me, Lydia. I saw you looking at me. Better control your husband, your wife, brother. Mister. She's giving me the stink eye over there. Messing with me. Don't you love that I can mess with you? Don't you love that I can call you by your name? Hello? If I don't know your name, I'm going to call you brother and sister. Hello, but the bottom line, in closing, I'm going to give you 4 points real quick to close you out. Are you ready? Point number one is the reason the spreading of the cloaks I already told you. It was to acknowledge that the Messiah King is worthy. It's called recognizing of kingship. That's why they did that's why they honored him in the spreading of that. Number two, the symbol of victory. The palm branches represent victory too. Do you understand that? So I need you all to carry. How many have a fan? A hold-on fan, right? Get a palm because you're spreading victory all over yourself. Hello. Number three, it's fulfilling prophecy. It had to be fulfilled. Come on, say amen. Come on, Jesus was the Son of God. He was Father God in the form of a son. Hello, he could have done it in any other way, but no, he came to show you that, hey, I love you. I don't care where you're at in life, but I came for you. And that's what you have to understand. And then, how many know the timing? How many know what the timing is right here? He's coming in the perfect time. How many know what time it was right here? It's Passover, the celebration of Passover. You know what Passover was? It's the final straw that broke the Egyptians' back. It's a straw that licked them. Watch this. You better understand this. Passover represented the time of what caused the Egyptians, whose hearts were hardened by the Almighty God Himself, and the final straw to let the children of Israel be free, He took all the firstborns. All firstborns. He didn't just say males, did He? And for you that don't know this, listen, this is why you got to get close, born again. Our rabbi is born again. Say amen. He believes the Messiah. Hello. He let us know. And I didn't know this. I sat next to this man. I've been sitting next to him for a long time now. I didn't know this, but not every one of the Israelites obeyed the command. He says millions didn't make it. Because, you know, they say there was up to 3 million. He says many didn't make it because they didn't obey the commandment of the doorpost covered with hyssops, with a color. He says many didn't represent it. And then he told me about the Holocaust. Did you know in the Holocaust, 2 million Christians were killed? Along with those in the Jews that stood up, say amen. Come on. See, we don't know this because they don't teach us this in school. They don't go to Bible school. They won't even teach you because it's not written in what we know of from 2,000 years ago plus. Hello, somebody. But it's a Passover tradition. The timing from New King James Version and your regular Bibles from the time of Malachi to Jesus was 400 approximate years. No God. Horrible season. Horrible time. Waiting for Him, waiting for the hope, and this is why He's here. The hope is here. But the political parties are going to say different, and the political parties are going to change your Christianity views if you don't know no better. Because the time is coming, and right now they're spreading. That's why I'm telling you, watch out for the news. Don't watch it. Please don't look at stuff. Don't even look at YouTube. AI's in there now. Oh my God, you guys got to know the truth because the truth sets us free. Messiah's already come. And there's things that He's got to be doing and done before He comes and takes, before He takes you away to what's coming. Come on, because what's coming, you can't handle it. You can't handle now with Jesus on your side. You're going to be able to handle it with Him when you don't have Him. Called this the Holy Spirit. Say amen. So it represented the Passover time. And here's the kicker. God took their firstborn. Now they're going to take His firstborn. Oh, you missed that. You missed that. See, God is such a good God. He had to honor His own word because you do to others what you want others to do to you. He took their firstborn. Come on. All that was set up. All the plagues were set up because now I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to take your firstborn. Hello? But because my rule says, do unto others, goes around, comes around in our world, as others do unto you, I'm going to let you take my firstborn, but it's going to be for a victory. Not a mourning. Come on. Say amen, somebody. Give Him a praise offering this morning. Palm Sunday. Peace and victory. So I tell you, walk in your victory. Yes, you're going through it. Yes, you will go through it, but He's going through it with you, promising you victory at the end of the road. Amen. We got to see somebody we haven't seen. Personally, I've seen it, but not before. I realized it in their time of cancer. Yesterday, we got to see them, and my final words were after they've done it and they did what they had to do and the cancer free now. Come on, say, I said, the good news is you're alive. God's not through. He's going to turn that to your victory. Come on, somebody say amen. Stand to your feet because we got a celebration to go after. I hope we were recording this. I got more, but I'm going to stop it right here. I can feel the presence of God so strong right now.